Now I'm going to take my interviewer seat, and I'm delighted to be able to welcome my dear friend Ani Mladen here. He's from Romania. I love Romanians. I travel through 9 different Eastern European and Central Asian countries, and one of the things I've discovered is that the Lord Jesus meets the needs of all kinds of people. Doesn't matter what language you speak, doesn't matter whether you're literate or illiterate, whether you're rich or poor, big or small, thin or, are we allowed to say fat these days? I'm not sure. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus meets the needs of all kinds of people. And so it's a joy really to welcome and to have been with Ani this week, sharing in different meetings here in the United Kingdom. And indeed, we were in Cavan this morning in the Republic too, sharing there. So, Ani.
Yes, sir.
I want you to introduce yourself and tell us something about this strange name, please.
Yes. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you. It's a great joy to be in a fellowship of a family of God. Yes, I have a strange name. My name is Onesimus. It's a strange name. Very few people in Romania may have that kind of name. I was not happy to wear this name, especially when I was in school, because even the teacher immediately recognized that I'm a repenter. Repenter is the nickname for all the evangelical believers. And I remember one time when the teacher asked me, where your father found such a strange name for you? And I went home and asked my dad about my name. And he opened the Bible, and I remember clearly it was in the book of Philemon when he mentioned about a slave called Onesimus. And he said, look, behind the name, there is a double story. One part of his life, he was unuseful. And the other part, he was useful. And now, he said, you will make the decision how short will be the unuseful part and how long will be the useful part.
Yep. Thank you, Ani. Ani, obviously then brought up in a Christian home.
Yes.
But that was in communist times. Can you tell us a little bit like what life was like at that time? What do you remember as a boy growing up in those circumstances?
Yes, as you already could see, because my father picked a Christian name, I was brought up in a Christian home. Not only that, but God blessed me to have very godly parents. In the circle of our family, I had 2 uncles that were put in prison for their faith. And that was in 1958 up to 1965. And I grew up praying daily that somehow God will release them and they could come back and be with their families. Which means a lot to me, because not only that I was praying, but I knew that being a Christian means to be willing to pay the price. In school, we were ridiculed by people. We also, as later on, students in school or in high schools or even in universities, there were certain limits that they impose upon us. I was not a very obedient son, though I received good training in the church. I tried to live like a double life in many ways.
So, Ani, you weren't converted really until your teenage years. Growing up as a boy at home, still unconverted, if you like, feeling under pressure from the communist system around you, were you rebellious? Did you resent that?
What I remember clearly, it was, yes, in one sense, I was not happy to see that I may have to suffer because I belonged from a Christian family. On the other hand, I felt deep down in my heart that I was playing a game. I used to go to church. I played mandolins in our church service. But during the week, I was a totally different person. And when that gap became bigger and bigger, I was afraid that somehow God will stop that and brought me to the reality. And that happened when I was 17 years old. Instantly, my father discovered a lot of bad things that I was doing. And I was forced at that moment to make a decision. Should I stay unuseful and brought sadness in my family, or I receive Christ? And God was good. I made that decision. I received Christ, and I will never regret.
Ani, you went to university to study what? And how? What was your experience there as a Christian believer now in university?
Yeah. After I was converted, God was also very good to me and provide good kind of training, not only in the church. We start working with some other organizations, and that was the time when I met Slavic Gospel. They brought good teaching in our area, and I was equipped for going in university in another city called Timișoara. Though it was not very simple, I tried to be a good student, and I remember during my first year, one of the professors misquoted the Bible, and I was frustrated, and I said, listen, Mr. Professor, if we are in an academic environment, I want you to quote correctly. And I said, do you know exactly where in the Bible you find such the thoughts? And what he obviously did not know. And that was my chance to share my conviction. He was shocked. He did not expect me to be a believer and be so bold in my witness. And he said, I will not pass the exam. God was good. And I survived. Somehow, at that particular time, there were many young adults that used to emigrate in the United States. And I shared my conviction in the university, and I said to myself, if they will kick me off, I may emigrate in the United States. When I shared all of this with my dad, he said, tell me sincerely, you defend your faith just because you want to go in the United States or because your Christ is worthy? I felt so ashamed for what I was doing. And since then, I try to be a witness for the Lord in my studies. And by God's grace, I graduated. I work as an engineer for 7 years.
So, Ani, obviously for you there was a very definite cost in following the Lord Jesus Christ.
I was not persecuted personally for my belief. But as I said, I knew and I had first-hand informations about those who suffered because they were part of my family. As a young engineer, I knew that the secret police was watching me very closely in my job, and if they could pick at me on something, they could fire me. Not only that, but I mentioned about many Bible studies that we used to have underground. We could meet in the church, that was not a problem, though the government tried to hinder the work of the church in many ways, but it was totally forbidden to meet with foreigners. And again, I mentioned the good times when I received good training from Slavic Gospel teachers. We sometimes met up in the woods, some other times we were squeezed in a small apartment, that no one should know about us because we really wanted to grow in our Christian life.
Ani, what led you then to move from your secular job as an engineer into Christian ministry, knowing obviously that if as a Christian it was going to cost you, then as a pastor it was perhaps going to cost you more?
That happened before the revolution that happened in Romania in December 89. I remember perfectly one time one of the former SGA teacher called Trevor Harris came to Romania, and he was sharing with us from the book of Nehemiah. And it was so moving to see a person that could live his life very easily, but he had a burden for his people. And through that particular book and that particular time, I felt that God is asking me to be more involved in his ministry. That was my first turning point, because since then I started to be involved in a youth work in our church. Early in 91, the church asked me to become their full-time pastor. I grew up in that church, everyone knew me, and that was not easy. Secondly, the former pastor that used to pastor the church, he was there for 42 years, and even now he's well and alive, a member of the church. And not only that, but thirdly, the church just started a huge building program. Now, in spite of all these difficulties, God had a hand upon me and blessed me through in my first years in the ministry.
Okay. Tell us about a little bit more about your church in Arad. What's it called, Ani? And tell us some of the things that go on in the place.
Our church is called Love Baptist. We have over 500 members in our membership. Time was not always easy in the past, though we had a good history. During the 120 years, we had only five pastors, which meant a healthy situation. Some of the members are poor, and they need a lot of support from us. We also have a congregation with a lot of youth, and we have to provide good ministry opportunities for them. Also, we have young couples that they struggle with different other issues. Again, in the past, we could not develop so many new type of ministry for all the members. But after the revolution, there are enormous opportunities in front of us.
Now, Ani, I know that there's something quite unusual about your church and what it does or what it houses. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I felt that I was helped. As a church, we were helped to build a nice building. And I realized that God blessed us in order to be a blessing for others. And since we dedicated the building, I was always concerned how I could be a blessing for others, how I could reach others. I discovered that it's much easier to build a church building than to build the church body. We tried different means to reach other peoples. First, we started to be involved in education. In our church facilities during the week, we have an elementary school that we open up. The government allowed us to have a Christian elementary school in which attend several children that are coming from an unchurched background. And that's an enormous opportunity for us. Later on, they could be trained in the gymnasium and then even at the level of high school. That's one particular emphasis that we have in our church.
Okay. Now, Ani, moving on to other of your interests, you've got a wide interest in church planting in Romania. Tell us about that and your involvement in that.
Romania is I mean, in the west part of Romania, we have many churches. Almost in every village, there is a church. But there are vast other areas in Romania where very few evangelical witness. And we recognize that God calls us to be missionaries and try to help those areas. There were many means through which we try to be a blessing. We send students to Oradea Bible Institute and later on help them to work in several areas. Not only that, but because these small churches, and I'm talking about churches in the villages, they are unable to have their own pastors, or sometimes a pastor is forced to pastor four or five churches in that zone. I had a burden for the future of those churches. Knowing SGA and knowing that they try to equip lay people for the ministry, I proposed to them different regions in Romania where they started a Bible school. And out of that Bible school, there were trained leaders that could function by vocational pastors in those locations.
You travel quite a few miles, Arne, in keeping your eye on some of these church planters.
Yes, you know, once you are a mediator and put your name, you have to make sure that they will not brought shame on you. And that's why they trust me. I'm at the age when they really trust me. We have been a blessing as a church to those pastors. And they invite me to preach here and there, which is something that I really enjoy. Not only that, but we also recognize that as a country now, we are more a mission, we need to be more a mission agency. Mm-hmm. For years, we have been helped by others, and now is the time for us to be senders, people that are willing to go. And we started to look at the countries around us and consider how we could help them.
Honey, tell me, what causes you concern today about your country as a whole, first of all?
First, and that's an update situation, being part of Europe brought a lot of advantages to us. But in the same time, we struggle with some ways in which EU imposed their values upon us. And recently, a coalition for family signed a petition. More than 3 million people were willing to sign a petition to make sure that in our Constitution will be a clearly defined marriage as one man and one woman. Though the proportion is quite remarkable, seems that the politician did not want to pay attention to us. And we are really afraid that EU may impose their standards, which will cause a big harm. Because of that, we had two national day of fasting and prayer, and we recognize that though we are not a moral majority, we could be a prophetic minority that will stand for the truth and be a witness in our country.
Yeah, so you're fighting this battle, really, of family and morality and all the rest of it. What about materialism and so forth? How is that affecting the country?
Well, obviously, once the border were open, there were waves in both directions. In one sense, there are a lot of young couples from Romania that make the decision to move abroad where they could work hard and receive more money. That caused a lot of problems because sometimes the wives were staying home and only the men went there. And these waves really affected even the church body in many parts of the country. On the other hand, waves of secularism and materialism came upon us. People are more busy working. The Sunday evening attendance dropped. And even when you try to reach the non-believers, they are skeptical. They are willing to believe everything, but not the truth of the gospel. In the same time, we are an Orthodox country. The vast majority of believers are Orthodox. And Orthodox did not require high standard of morality. It's a very liturgical and just go with the flow and don't ask any specific commitment. And people are rejecting every time when we ask for a real commitment. They said, no, we don't want to change our religion.
Mm-hmm. Coming towards the end, Arne, I want to ask you why you believe, I mean, you've given your life to the gospel now in Romania. Why do you believe the gospel is vital for your countrymen?
First, because a life without Christ will never be fulfilled. And those who try several other ideas, though people are interested in spirituality, but apart from the Bible, they will never receive a clear self-esteem. I used to believe that on the chair where I stand, there are three persons: me as I see myself, me as someone else is seeing me, and me as God sees me. And in life, everything depends on which person you'll put the emphasis. Some will be interested only in what they see themselves, and they go in life without paying attention to any advice from others, and especially any advice from God. I think that you'll become a real person when you try to see yourself as God sees you.
Mm-hmm. Final word, Arne. If there are people here tonight who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not repenters, to use the word that is used in Romania, if there are folk here, what would you say to them tonight?
I will say simply this. Everyone wants to impress and know that someone is appreciating him. We live with that hunger. If you look for the appreciation from others, they could take you astray. If you are a teenager, if you look for the appreciation of your colleagues, you will go where the colleagues are going. But if you want God to appreciate you, the only thing that you have to do is just believe in what he did for you in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I always keep clear in my mind that the only thing that I could impress God is through faith. Having faith in him, following him, paying the price to be a disciple, it's worth it.
Well, we'll not be rushing away afterwards. If there's free tea, we'll stay for the tea. So you can ask any other questions. And as long as you're finished with Arne by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, because I've got to deliver him to the airport, then we're happy enough. So afterwards tonight, if you want to ask him more questions, please corner him and talk to him and ask him the questions that are in your heart. May the Lord bless you even through what Arne has shared with us this evening. Thank you.
Thank you so much.